ladies and gentlemen, for this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are going to have Paul McGuire with us in just a few moments. I want to bring you a quick word from Greenovative, Alan Riggs over at Greenovative. Don't forget the contest that's ongoing. Write us a short story about a time where you needed power and you didn't have any. Send that to studio at hagmanandhagman.com, and we will get that to Alan, and the winners will be announced next week. Don't forget that this is the July 4th Independence Day weekend, and a great way to celebrate in the USA is with family, a cookout, and even a July 4th parade. The write-in campaign for Greenovative Energy Independence is when you tell us about your emergency moment when you needed power and you just did not have it. Folks at Greenovative offer that power, and they have the GMAG charger products made here in the USA. They provide independence from household electricity, the sun, wild hand crank devices. Greenovative units literally make power anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Don't forget about the discount also from now until the 5th of July, where listeners can get a 15% store-wide discount by using the code Hagman. And for the very first time, you can receive a free pair of double power pucks with the purchase of any Super GMAG charger packets. The discount for that is free puck if it's your first time ordering. So again, 15% store-wide discount using the code Hagman from now until the 5th of July.
That's a great deal. Coming up shortly is going to be Mr. Paul McGuire. I want to say, folks, it has started in earnest. Remember, just very quickly, back before, right around the election, right around the election day, when Donald Trump was elected, we had stated that it would be the absolute purpose to delegitimize the presidency of Donald Trump in any way possible. Well, now we've got a Democratic congressman from Maryland. We've got Jamie Raskin. He's a constitutional law teacher at an American university. Has suggested or is attempting to convene a commission to use the 25th Amendment to the Constitution to describe Donald Trump as mentally incapable of holding office. And if you, just very quickly here before we bring Paul on, if you look at what MSNBC has done, the individual reporters, including but not limited to CNN and other the mainstream media reporters, just exactly like the Russian narrative, you've got that questioning his mental status. Using, for example, his end-around mainstream media Twitter account.
Right.
It's an end-around, okay? That as the basis to question his mental capacity. I think if this continues in this fashion, I see this going very, very badly. For the American people,
it's pretty crazy that they will use tweets, his own Twitter activity, as a way to show that he's somehow mentally unstable. They're just afraid that he's not a political insider, an establishment globalist,
yep.
And that he's like a regular American person, and that he does things differently from any president we've seen, especially in this age of social media. And if anybody's insane, it is, most of these elected officials who are in, the House and in the Senate and all of the people in the mainstream media. These people are the ones who have lost their minds. And then because they're living in some alternative, psychotic reality, everything the president does to them seems like it's, some kind of mental derangement. But it really, what it is the Trump derangement syndrome, by the rest of the country who is just so sad that Hillary Clinton did not become president. They're still hurt. They're looking for any and every way they can to impeach him. They couldn't get him with a Russia lies. So because of his reaction to those lies and to the name calling and to the constant badgering of the president and his office by the media, now they're going to say that because his responses to those lies are a little different than any other president, that he's unhinged? Yeah, it's a little,
the wheels are coming off.
The circular reasoning here is getting old.
Exactly.
But we have Paul McGuire with us.
Let's bring him on.
Not sure if we're gonna, if we have the video set up, but either way, Paul McGuire is with us. And it's been a while since we've had you on, Paul. It's great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be on the show. By the way, do we have video on?
No, Eric, the tech said that your video is showing, one of those loops, like it's buffering or whatever, but the sound is fine. We hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Ask your technician, is there a button I'm supposed to be pressing to have video? Because here on my screen, it says it's activated. So ready to go with video. But
all right. We're working on this, Paul.
We'll go like this till we get to a break, then we'll try to reconnect and see if we can fix it.
Great. Okay. So, anyway, it's great to be on, gentlemen, and I've missed you guys. It's been a while, but as you just said in your opening, it's interesting you brought up the attempt to psychologically destroy President Trump. Now, I have been immersed in research for, like, way too long. I'm working, like, 18 hours a day, doing two books at once, and I'm literally... You know, I'll read like three books a day. I know that sounds insane, but I'm a speed reader. So one of the things that I've been dealing with is this entire attack, the psychological attack strategy. So on one hand, they go with the Russian collusion strategy, which is a total disaster. Anybody who is on that boat is on a ship of fools. There is no proof whatsoever that Trump colluded with the Russians or they interfered with the election. So now that that boat is sinking, but they're still going to stay on the boat, I knew ahead of time that the secondary strategy or one of the other strategies would be to demonize him as psychologically unfit, and so psychologically unfit that they would have to, for the good of the American people, force him to leave the office of president. And the reason I knew that was happening, as you gentlemen know, going back 6 to 7 months ago, if not longer, you heard these little statements by journalists, these little articles here and there, questioning his psychological stability, questioning his judgment in the face of a crisis, and building subliminally, at least, the case that he's mentally unfit to be president. Now, the major way they structured that psychological attack, and by the way, what we're talking about is psychological warfare. What we're seeing play out before us is psychological warfare within the political arena. Because psychological warfare is the primary warfare. So the left, going way back to the Frankfurt School in the 1920s, and the Frankfurt School was a group of Marxist intellectuals who were trained by the KGB in Moscow, and then they picked up and moved to Frankfurt, Germany in the 1920s. And their strategy was not to do the guns and bullets thing, but to create a Marxist revolution or a communist revolution in America via radically transforming the culture. And that means political correctness. And there are four top targets, by the way, of the Marxist intellectuals in the 1920s. The four top targets was one, number one, they said destroy Christianity. Number two, destroy the Christian marriage. Number three, destroy Christian morality, family values. And then number four, destroy patriotism, destroy any patriotic feelings or belief in an independent sovereign nation state like America. Now, that's their four primary targets. So these Marxist intellectuals, and Sigmund Freud was involved, and Sigmund Freud was, you know, pathologically sick. He was mentally ill himself. The guy was a cocaine addict, number one. He was deeply involved in the occult. And there's other things that I could say that I don't have time to go into now. So, the basic strategy they used, and it came from Freud, was that, the father of psychoanalysis, was that whenever a human being represses their sexual urges or their sexual desires, when anybody suppresses or restricts or does not act on their sexual desires and suppresses them, it will lead to a serious psychological problem. And a number of the Marxist intellectuals at the Frankfurt School actually authored books called The Totalitarian Personality. The Totalitarian Personality. And what they argued was that totalitarian males, strong leaders, or the fear of Hitlerian type dictators, that comes out of a psychological problem because that individual is suppressing their sexuality. So this is an entire theory that's not an honest psychological theory. There's no psychological basis for it. There's no scientific proof for it. What the Frankfurt School Marxist intellectuals did was manufacture a psychological theory as a methodology of propaganda and psychological warfare to target and destroy any strong male leadership figure so that there would be no resistance to their communist revolution. So every single argument, and by the way, I went through the entire biography of Trump. I read the articles in the liberal magazines, and you could go off the checkpoint that they would say was part of the reason he has an authoritarian personality. His father was cruel to him. Well, his father wasn't cruel to him. So they back then were constructing this fiction that Trump is a potential authoritarian and also mentally unstable, because they believe that goes hand in hand via the suppression of sexuality. So this is a specific agenda, and quite frankly, I heard this when I was a leftist and a radical and, you know, involved in demonstrations and stuff. I heard this exact same argument from people like Dr. Timothy Leary and the radical left in the late 60s and 70s. That whole thing, make love and not war, was simply another way of saying, don't suppress your sexual urges, then you won't be violent. And so that's their attack strategy. And when you dissect the biographical components of Trump that they add up in their erroneous attempt to portray him as a psychopath and mentally unstable, for example, I was raised in Queens, Jackson Heights, Queens. Trump was raised in Jamaica Estates, Queens. That was one subway stop from where I lived. The media in the East Coast portrays Jamaica Estates like it's Beverly Hills. Jamaica Estates is not Beverly Hills. I lived in a middle-class neighborhood. Trump lived in Jamaica Estates. It would be an upper-middle-class neighborhood. It was not an elite super wealthy neighborhood. It was just upper middle class. And his father told him many of the same things my father told me growing up in Jackson Heights, Queens. You know, you have to deal with the streets of New York. And he told his son to be tough, because if you weren't tough on the streets of New York City back then, they would beat the living daylights out of you just for sports. So he didn't have an authoritarian, psychopathic father. He had a loving father who was teaching him how to survive. Because if you didn't know how to survive on the streets of Queens, they would beat you unconscious. And my father said the same thing to me. And I don't have an authoritarian personality. That's an example of a loving father preparing his son for the real world. So that's just part of their psychological demonization. And they're going to add to it, and they planned it for a long time.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right with the, you know, we've worked in New York City. Me and my father have been there hundreds and hundreds of times doing, workers' compensation and other private investigation work. And, you know, New York City's it's a tough city, and you're right. You have to have a certain edge and toughness about you, or you will, it's the type of city that, you know, you'll get devoured in if you do not. And,
And let me give you an example. So, like, Trump's, the media, you know, all these liberal magazines writing about Trump's childhood, writing about Jamaica Estates, and what I think is very humorous is it's blatantly obvious to me and anybody who grew up in Queens that the people writing these articles either were raised in privileged suburbs across America or the very privileged and posh areas of Manhattan, where they were wealthy kids, okay, and they didn't have to deal with this. But middle class kids or working class kids did have to deal with it in Queens. And just because Trump was upper middle class didn't make him immune from the streets of Queens. So I was a nice kid. I knew how to fight because I hung out with buddies where all we did was fight and train each other how to fight, as we also played football and basketball and stuff like that. And that really was very good for me because it taught me how to be a street fighter without being like, you know, a psychopath. So anyway, I remember one day a kid picks a fight with me because I never pick fights with people. But if they picked a fight with me long enough, then I would engage them. So I was young, and this kid starts to beat me up, and I go into our apartment building kind of crying and complaining to my dad that it hurts, he beat me up, and, you know, and I'm crying and falling apart. And my father says to me, and he's a military veteran, and he was an artist, and he said to me, "So what if it hurts?" I mean, very aggressively, my father looks me in the eye and says, "So what if it hurts, Paul? He says, I don't care how much it hurts. Go back out there and finish the fight and win. And I don't want to see you until you do that." Now, that's kind of the edge that Trump's father gave him. But you see, you had to have that to survive. I would walk on the way to school, minding my own business, to grammar school, PS69. These kinds of things would happen all the time. All of a sudden, guys are jumping out of the bushes. I never saw them before. And they are pounding the living you-know-what out of me. I'm bleeding, I'm knocked to the floor, for no reason whatsoever. So if a father didn't teach his kid, his son, how to survive, his son would be just a target. And, you know, when you grow up in a privileged upper Manhattan environment, of course, you don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, and you know how this is, how this translates over to what we're seeing in the media, you know, with Trump. The media is united in their hatred for Trump and his agenda and their supporters, but they seem, or at least act, as though they're astonished when he fights back, against the lies and the smears, the name calling and the slander. And they act like he's unhinged for, you know, fighting back, at least verbally. And, I don't know what these people expect. I mean, it's obvious and has been obvious for a long time that no matter what he does, he's going to be ridiculed for it. He's going to be put down. And but one thing that this country has going for it is the complete lack of respect and the unity of the people against the mainstream media. I think a lot of the people can see through the media and what they're trying to do to Trump and to his agenda. But Paul, let me ask you this. Do you believe that they really hate Trump this much, or do you think that it's more they hate his agenda and supporters?
I would venture to say that if he had the political, economic beliefs that they had, he'd be a hero to them. You know, you have to ask yourself the question. We have never, ever experienced this level of attack and warfare against any president of the United States in the history of America. Never, ever. And we have entered an entirely different virtual reality And a lot of people understand that. A lot of people in the media don't get it yet. We've, like, I don't believe in evolution, but we've taken an evolutionary jump in the way our social media and our media integrates with society. So let me give you an example. Trump was a reality TV star, okay? That's unreal, but it's real. His face was recognizable. His brand, you know, you're fired, the tough businessman. People all over the world tuned into that show. He was a super, superstar of reality TV. And that taught him a bunch of things, I'm sure. So Trump goes into an environment expecting to run for president and expecting, you know, fair debate rules and fair media coverage and everything else. And all of a sudden, we're all watching this, and none of us have ever seen an election where the entire mainstream media is a 24/7 assault machine against him. They're lying. They're distorting. It's like unbelievable. You had people like Jeb Bush, you know, coming up all like humble and quiet and Christian-like. But, you know, as Trump called him on it, he was distancing himself from it, but he had a political pact, I think, spending over $100 million doing the dirtiest and meanest name-calling television spots. And so all this accumulates. We've never seen, ever, none of us have ever seen a time where the media has been so biased, so off the wall, one lie after another. You know, what they did to Trump, and this is psychological warfare too, this is an intentional strategy. They have given him bombardment of images where people are threatening to kill him, threatening to assassinate him. Some of them are celebrities, some of them are movie stars, some of them are journalists and other politicians. And never before have we heard hundreds of voices calling for his bloody assassination and his killing, okay? If that had been any other political leader or president, those people would have been arrested by now, jailed, fined. Any other president. If somebody said that once to Obama, proceedings would have happened. So then it keeps escalating and escalating, and they're showing a picture of Trump's head being chopped off, like ISIS cut off his head, covered with blood that, what's her name, Kathy Griffin, the comedian, held up, which was obscene. It was brutal. It was completely off the charts. And then you see this play in Central Park where the actor who's playing Trump is assassinated and he dies in a bloody pool of blood. And that's just part of what they've shown. So here you have Melania Trump and you have Trump's younger son, Barron, and the rest of his family. Now, imagine the psychological assault on a female and a wife like Melania and Barron. Trump is tough, but no matter how tough you are, it gets under your skin. And then when your wife is being hit by it and your kid, it really gets under your skin. So, you know, in a sense, I don't know exactly what their psychological state of mind is, but I don't care how tough you are, as a male or a female, when you're under that bombardment of violent imagery of the husband you love or your father being brutally murdered, and it's popping up on TV screens all the time. Imagine their lives. They go in Manhattan, they can't go anywhere. They're called names, there's murmuring in the background. I guarantee you all their liberal friends have run from them. She never knows, and the family never knows, he never knows, where they're going to go, where somebody is going to explode on them, threaten violence or whatever. Now, that sounds, okay, you know, okay, that's the way it is. No, that's not the way it is. It's such a shock and awe campaign to our human psychological personality that, once again, I don't care how tough you are, it gives you degrees of incremental post-traumatic stress disorder, except it's not post. You're going to have nightmares. You're going to have sleepless nights. You're going to have a paranoia because it's like shell shock. You don't know when the next explosion's going to go off. And that is a brutal, brutal psychological attack on his family, and him and his staff. And it's done intentionally because they know he is probably tough and can handle it. But his wife and son and family, that's a way to get to a man. So this is a deliberate assault. Number two is the constant references to assassination and the blood regarding Trump and how we're going to kill him and chop his head off. It takes a collective toll, and it deliberately creates a climate where every nut is ready to go off on them. So it is my personal belief that we are watching not a product of randomness. Everything we're seeing in the media in terms of the attacks on Trump, even this guy who killed the Republicans, there is far more to that than we're being led to believe. That was not a random incident.
Paul, we're right up against the break. We're going to take this break, and we're going to try to get your video up and running. Folks, we're talking with Paul McGuire. He's going to be with us through the rest of the show. We got a lot to get into, a lot of prophetic stuff, a lot of news stuff, and
this is good stuff, though, folks.
Oh,
absolutely,
good.
What I'm hearing, man. This is exactly what we need,
and we're going to try to get the video up and running from when we come back. We're going to take this network break. When we come back, more with Paul McGuire. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric's a...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trained Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.trainfrozenwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is the website. It's a fantastic website, and Paul's been a guest on our show several times in the past, and it's been a little while since he's been on, and it's great to have him back. He's the author of several books, from The Day the Dollar Died to A Prophecy of the Future of America to The Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017.
If I can interject something here, folks, Paul is one of the most intelligent men I know, and when he says he goes into a room in 18 hours, you know, in a room writing a couple of books, this is what he does. I always wondered, how do so many people write so many books? Well, you know how they do it? They've got, I don't want to say ghostwriters. They got people that write, don't recall the name, but other people write the books for them. Basically, the author gives them notes and the other person, copywriters, write the books. Paul writes his own. And he researches his own. And I've got a lot of respect for Paul. We were talking right before the break about the assault against the mental, the mental health of Donald Trump, the constant barrage by everyone in the media. And I think this is so important because this is where, folks, I'm telling you, this is tomorrow's news. Paul, take it away, sir.
Well, I'm really glad, Doug, that you brought that up. And I'm going to say some things that probably I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say them anyway, which is what I always do. And before I say them, though, I want to tell skeptical people, there's nothing wrong with being skeptical, as long as you're honest and when you're confronted with the facts. If the facts don't prove to be true, then you have a right to reject it. But if you're skeptical and the facts are true, you're obligated to change your mind if you have any integrity. So I'm going to say some things that may sound foreign and strange to some people, but I have credible first-hand documentation in my books to support what I'm saying. And, you know, I've spent a lifetime, 45 years at least, studying this stuff. So let me just get to some basics that you know, the mainstream news media and even a lot of the alternative news media is very one-dimensional, and they won't get into the real. It's not so much what they do cover that creates bias and censorship; it's what they choose not to cover, which is their greatest crime. So, over the last 40 years, let's say starting, I'm just going to pick an arbitrary date. I could go back further, but let's starting right after World War II in 1948, when America brought in 10,000 Nazi mind control scientists, Nazi rocket scientists, and Nazi genetic scientists under a program called Operation Paperclip, and then gave them the highest positions in America with think tanks and laboratories and huge budgets. Now, the one thing we have to remember about the Nazis is they were, first of all, deeply involved in the occult, but secondly, they were on the cutting edge of scientific mind control. I mean, they had mind control. They took it to a whole new level. But what a lot of people don't understand is that scientific mind control, just like genetics or transhumanism or computer technology, it has been accelerating in its sophistication and application. It's just that you'll never really hear about it. A case in point would be, a couple of months ago, our government gave the communist Chinese government the control over the internet. Was it a couple of months ago?
That was right before, I think it was in October, November, something like that, or October. Yeah.
So immediately after that happened, I began to notice all kinds of censorship happening on the internet. Things that weren't happening before are now happening constantly. So, for example, it used to be I would type in something like, let's say, Donald Trump and psychological personality or whatever. And on the first page, there would have been the typical liberal propaganda. But on the first page of a search engine back then, like Google, there would be alternative news. Now, on any given subject, unless it's the official politically correct version, you don't see it on the first page of the search engines. You don't see it on the second page. Now you've got to start going 10 pages deep. Maybe you'll go on the sixth page and find one article or something, but they're burying alternative viewpoints, which happen to be the truth, deep 10 pages or more into the search engines. That's a form of censorship. Then, I can't tell you how many articles that I research, and I'll try to go to the article, and there's an error message, a variety of strange error messages that I've never seen, or mysteriously, this video does not play anymore. But it's always related to something that isn't politically correct. So what they're doing, it's a somewhat stealth way of doing it, is that they're dominating, in an Orwellian sense, a Big Brother sense, the internet by redirecting people to politically correct information or blocking people from accessing, because the pages don't exist on the internet, truthful information. So this is very dangerous because this is Big Brother totalitarianism on the fast track. Now, let's go back to this attack and assault on Trump. A lot of people don't understand, why is Trump doing what he's doing? Like, when he was in the election cycle, why did he give everybody these names? People are saying, that's beneath a president. You know, he's calling little Rubio, and I forgot all the Lion, Ted, and stuff. And you say, and a lot of people made the assessment, well, that's just beneath him. He's not acting presidential. But, as I said earlier in your program, he called Jeb Bush a name. He did it intentionally because Jeb is pretending to be this virtuous Christian saint at the debate, but in reality, he's got his super PAC spending hundreds of millions of dollars lying and assaulting Trump and calling Trump all kinds of names. So he's not clean at all. So Trump doesn't have that money, but he does have an imagination. And straight from the heart, street fighting modality from Queens, he works out this clever way of labeling his candidates with these names. And you may say it's beneath him, but look, he doesn't have $500 million to play with to hire psychological operations advertising campaigns. So he has to do it with his own cleverness and wit. And that's one of the reasons he won the presidency. So Joe Scarborough and what's her name, Mika Brzezinski, yeah, and Brzezinski, of course, is the daughter of this evil architect of the Trilateral Commission, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who wrote in 1976, he wrote a book called The Grand Chess Game, calling for the use. Here is Brzezinski. Trilateral Commission, globalist, friend of Rockefeller. He's writing this super authoritarian book that we can control the masses with scientific brainwashing and psychotronic weapons and psychotronic technology. Now, I explain what all that is, and your readers and viewers and listeners should know what all that is. In fact, in my book, Mass Awakening, that you were kind enough to write the foreword to, I get into that in detail, and people should know how that works because it's being used against them.
And by the way, Paul, thank you. Mass Awakening, folks, is perhaps one of the most prescient books for today, today's environment. And I'm not saying that to sell books or to, you know, just because I was fortunate enough to be able to write the foreword to it. Mass Awakening has the information in there that applies to what's going on today. And I just want, if you don't have it, folks, get it from Paul McGuire. Definitely order it because it's a great, very, very applicable today. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought, but
no, it's fine. In fact, and so when I talk about stuff like this, you know, a lot of people are tracking with me, but then a lot of people think this is too heavy. So that's why I write the books and I give documentation. So in Mass Awakening, the key thing here is I give you the first-hand quotes from Brzezinski and the others about their calling for the use of scientific mind control and psychotronic weapons. Now, I would suspect the majority of people that are listening don't know what psychotronic weapons are, but they're being used against you. You need to know that, see? You need to know that there is technology that most of America thinks is going to not be available until 100 years, and they would consider it science fiction technology that has really been available and operational since the 50s. And Brzezinski is talking about the use of psychotronic technology and psychotronic weapons in controlling the masses. So this is being employed in the psychological warfare with Trump and the globalist elite. And by the way, this is what this all really comes down to. It's because Trump ran on a platform, Make America Great Again. He ran on a platform against the corrupt trade treaties. He ran on a platform challenging globalism. He ran on a platform advocating borders and protection of terrorism. And he ran on a program where he wasn't going to allow the working class and the middle class of America to continually have their wages cut lower and lower and lower, because the globalists did that intentionally. And then the globalists sent out 80,000 manufacturing plants to third world nations. And the reason for that, and this thinking and this plan that I'm talking about now from the globalists, they wrote about it extensively. And I quote them, going back as far as the mayor of New York City in 1921 and Woodrow Wilson and many others. They talked about the need for globalism. Rockefeller, you know, there's been so many Rockefellers, but they talked about the need for getting rid of, for promoting trade treaties, for increasing globalistic trade, getting rid of borders, pushing a global government. They talked about this. They laid out and mapped out these plans 100 years ago. Now, so here Trump comes, and he is in opposition to it. But we have to understand that the mainstream media, just about every single person, there are a few exceptions, in the mainstream media is a bought man or a bought woman. They work directly for just six globalist corporations. And what is hidden behind the six globalist corporations is that these six globalist corporations that can totally control the content of our media, they're really owned by international and foreign investors and foreign directors, like nations like Saudi Arabia, China, certain European nations. So the globalists in all these other nations have purchased control and censorship over the content of our media. So the reason right now that our mainstream media is a full on attack mode against Trump. They're acting like packs of wild dogs infected with rabies devouring one another, or like some kind of zombie apocalypse in that movie 28 Days Later. They are doing this because they've been ordered to do it. They have been ordered by their globalist owners to take down Trump. And then there's people that are involved in it, because we have to remember that basically, the protective mechanism that the globalists have erected, that goes back to ancient Babylon, by the way, is a pyramidical structure. It's the pyramidal structure is the structure or hierarchy of a corporate organizational flowchart, but all the secret occult societies, etc., operate on a pyramidal structure. So the people at the top, they know what's going on, okay? But then you go lower, and by lower I say, I'm saying like people like presidents of the United States, or people like prime ministers, or people like Marxist college professors and scientists, they only have a small fragment of the information. They're completely unaware of, for example, what Brinsky was talking about, psychotronic weapons. So, you have them, they have been ordered to take down Trump because the globalists perceive Trump as a threat to their one world government and to their trade treaties and to globalism, etc., etc. When you read the Bilderberg report from the recent Bilderberg meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, where the world's elite gather annually in different locations, every single item, including the first one, was all about Trump. All about Trump, how to defeat populism, how to promote globalism. They are terrified that there will be a populist uprising that could potentially derail their plans for globalism. Now, I want to add one more ingredient here that people need to be aware of, and that is the reality of existing technologies. First of all, linguistics, vocabulary, words, images, and associations are a big part of what's called propaganda, persuasion, indoctrination, or psychological warfare. But in addition to that, and Brzezinski wrote about it in 1976, he's the co-founder of the Council of the Trilateral Commission with Rockefeller, they learned the beginning of it from the Nazis, mind control scientists, but they've taken it to an entirely new level. So we have intelligence agencies and activist groups financed by super billionaires that have been able to create regime change in Middle Eastern nations and coups. And the way they do it is they flood that nation with radical activists trained, and then they use the social media like Facebook and Twitter and all the other internet social media, and they can, in a matter of 3 days, have 100,000 people rioting and burning and destroying things in the streets. But they use a psychological technique and strategy in combination with the technology of the internet. Now, that psychological strategy, and your listeners need to know what it is because it's going to be used on them. And that's why you need to study, whether it's my books or somebody else's books, you need to study. I have it in my book, the new one that you can order now, Conquering the Matrix, this illusion world. They're using a strategy called emotional contagion. And the premise is that emotions and psychological states like anger, paranoia, violence, hatred, whatever state of emotion you want to spread like wildfire through a targeted population, it acts like what they call a mental virus or an emotional virus. And it moves from person to person very rapidly. But when you initiate or launch the psychological operations strategy called emotional contagion, which is a virus that transmits emotions, hatred towards Donald Trump, or whatever they want to do, when you introduce the components of emotional contagion into the internet structure, Facebook, Twitter, etc., then it spreads virally. And virally isn't just a cute word, virally. An emotion that becomes, through psychological development and methodically thought out, spreads virally on the internet through social media to a target group, and it is contagious. It spreads from one person to another. And then the second thing is it creates a group mind. It creates a mass hysteria that reinforces one another. And I'm going to suggest to you that when I saw the whatever how many million women march in Washington, D.C., was either shortly before or after Trump was in the White House. And as I've watched some of the behaviors at these rallies and specifically watching the behavior of many celebrities and at these demonstrations and groups, I noticed something very peculiar. I've noticed that for years they have been politically active and expressing their viewpoints. But I'm seeing the emotionalism that almost borders on psychosis. It's a hysteria. You can listen to them on television and they're like psychologically out of control and they're like spinning off one another. And I'm going to suggest to you, I can't prove it as an outsider, but I'm going to suggest to you that population group has been targeted along with professional organizers of demonstrations and big money behind it, that an emotional contagion was launched virally in the feminist community and in the Hollywood community to create a catharsis and a total explosion of hatred, irrationality, and insanity in their protesting of Donald Trump. And it has reached such an escalation point. This emotional contagion keeps building and strengthening itself that it ended up with people like Kathy Griffin showing the decapitated head of Donald Trump and a lot of very freaky, psychotic stuff. But what I'm trying to tell your listeners, this is not an accident. This is how they destabilize targeted regimes in the Middle East and Europe, and this is how they intend to attempt to impeach a legally elected president who's guilty of nothing, or to get away with calling him mentally ill or whatever. They're using a full spectrum of assault weapons. And one of those assault weapons is the synergistic combination between social media, the internet, and very sophisticated emotional contagion psychological propaganda that is targeted for a particular group.
You know, I was reading Daniel Estulin's book on the Tavistock Institute.
Yeah.
And he talks about, in great detail, just in the first chapter there, about the social engineering of the masses. And also in the book from Brzezinski I have here, Totalitarian Dictatorship and Autocracy, he gets into the totalitarian ideology and not only the historical roots, but the change and corruption of ideology and how it is used as a weapon. But in Estulin's book, he quotes another book, and I don't have the quotation with me, but he says the ultimate goal is the complete eradication of mankind's inner sense of identity, the tearing out of mankind's innermost soul, and the placement in the vacant space of an artificial synthetic pseudo-soul. And when the emotional reactions that you're talking about, it goes down, you know, to a more a tribal, a more carnal nature, and that's what it appeals to. And, you know, so often we see people's reactions as being emotional responses instead of intellectual responses. And this is a way to continue to remove intelligence and critical thinking from the minds of people by getting them to act solely on their base emotions. And that could be another reason why we see the media acting the way that they're acting right now. And they're trying to invoke that emotional response, you know, by that kind of gotcha journalism or sensationalist headlines or the lies like the Russia stuff that we see, in order to continue as a tool to dumb down society.
The repetition.
Right, absolutely. And the totalitarian ideology encompasses, you know, the fascists, the communists, and these different forms of oppressive governments that we've seen throughout history, especially through the 20th century. And everything that they accuse Trump of being, you know, this dictator, this, you know, Hitlerian guy, this fascist, it is all to invoke those emotional responses. And sadly, Paul, what would you say? About 25% of the population in this country has bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker to the point where their own mind has been manipulated to where they don't think clearly anymore, that they just believe what they're told.
Well, first of all, I'm glad you brought up one point because I want to get into it if we have time. You identified probably one of the most important components of this, and that is the strategic planned destruction of individual identity and individualism and the individual personality, and deliberately through psychological manipulation, getting rid of the individual personality and causing people to merge their identities into what's called the collective or the group mind, where you're just one entity. And if you study the teachings of the Luciferian Alice Bailey and Madame Blavatsky, which I write about in the first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, she points to this. Karl Marx points to this when, in the Communist Manifesto, he talks about the collective and that nobody's individual personality matters. You give up everything for the state or the collective. And now our children are being programmed in the schools. You don't pursue individual excellence based on individual performance. The goal is they would rather have mediocrity and have children surrender to the group mind, where your identity is found not in who you are, but is being part of the team or being part of the consensus. And they also penetrated the capitalist corporations in America through management training, and they have things like total quality management, where they go into giant automobile companies, etc., and they discourage individual high achievers. They say that destabilizes productivity, and they say it's better to have everybody united and operating at the same level and making teamwork and groupthink your priority. They teach these corporations that that should be your goal, and that you don't want the independent achiever that soars to great heights. So you've tapped into something, and I'd say it's far higher than 25%, because you see the brainwashing, the indoctrination, the advertising, whatever you want to call it, began in school, K through 12. So people were already pre-set up to accept it. Now we're moving into a crisis state regarding Trump and everybody else, and the seeds that were already planted in tens of millions of lives, or hundreds of millions of lives, they're already pre-prepared to enter into this collective mindset, where they will succumb to brainwashing and act as such. But there's a powerful solution to that. And by the way, what I find amusing is that ultimately it's Luciferian in nature. But number two, they never tell you the truth. They say, okay, we're going to create a workers' paradise. Globalism is for the good of all of mankind. We're going to take care of everybody. We're going to redistribute the wealth so everybody has equal. And this whole list of things that sound so Christ-like and so compassionate. But history shows us it's always a lie. And when the day is done, including right now, there's proof of it. When the day is done, the wealthy 1% elite become wealthier and wealthier and wealthier and more powerful and more powerful and more powerful. While under this so-called wealth redistribution, they have said in their own words that they want to destroy the income levels of the working class in America and the middle class, and bring the working class and middle class of America down to that of a third world nation. Now, in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, and this is a completely new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, I go through all the economics, the numbers, the data that will prove what I'm saying. It's simple to understand, but when you look at the dollar amounts, it'll blow your mind. So let me just throw out, do I have time to throw out a dollar amount? Or?
As a matter of fact, Paul, we are going to be skipping henceforth the rest of our breaks. I want to thank Global Star Radio Network for allowing us to do that. Thank you, Global Star. So, continuity of thought, Paul.